Welcome to This Is Only a Test, episode 12, recorded May 19th, 2010. I'm Will Smith. With me today, as always, you know, you're wearing a tie today, Norm. What the hell's up with that?
I thought it was Friday. I woke up and I thought it was Friday.
That's good. It's Wednesday.
I know. That,
I mean, you're listening
there,
to this
there
on
was
Thursday.
A problem.
Good God, man. Pull yourself together. What did you do? Did you go to a time machine last night? Did you have a few too many toddies? That's cocktails for you youngsters.
I had no idea what you meant. I was thinking tater tots.
Why did you think it was Friday? What's going on, Norm? Let's get deep into your psyche. What's the mental?
I ran out of non-tie shirts.
So this is a shirt you exclusively wear with ties?
Yes. You can't wear a shirt without a tie.
Yeah, you can. I wear a shirt without a tie all the time. That's a button-down, I noticed, but you have the collar unbuttoned to kind of casual it up a little bit.
Yes. This is a casual workplace.
Well, you know, if you were watching the live stream right now, you could see Norm's tie and unbuttoned collar.
What?
Yes,
no way.
Crazy.
I see you.
Right. We see internet people.
There are like 14 of them.
Yeah, there are 14 people. That means everybody's learned their lesson about trying to watch This Is Only a Test live. So what's going on? What have you been testing this week, Norm?
Let's talk about what we tested last week, but what we just revealed
what
today.
What we just posted today. So yes. you're talking about the Fix Will's wireless test.
Yes, your wireless sucks.
Now, what I'm going to tell everyone is that was all a sham. I had fixed my wireless months ago. But
smoke and mirrors.
Yes, I had dead spots.
You're the smoke.
I saw dead spots. So what we did was we went down to my house where I have bad Wi-Fi, as previously has been established, and took a whole bunch of different stuff that you can use to make your Wi-Fi better. So we took some homegrown antennas. Some who makes those? What's the plan? Where are the plans from?
The plans from Amazon. Oh no, the plans for the not those are antennas.
The parabolic reflectors.
Yes. So yes. There's a lot of terminology in this.
Yes. Lingo.
Yeah. So routers have antennas, but in addition to antennas, we put parabolic reflectors, which are antenna boosters.
Yes. So it's basically like a cone, but it's only part of the cone.
Yes.
So and it lets you direct the radio waves using aluminum foil and paper and
you can do
tape.
It without a Pringles can. I don't even know if Pringles cans work anymore. Are they still metallic inside?
Pringles can is super directional. So if you want to like poach Wi-Fi from somebody 2 miles away, you use the Pringles can.
I see.
Yes. If you're not interested in poaching Wi-Fi, if you just want to make your Wi-Fi better, the Pringles can is a very low value. Because what it does is makes a little tiny tube. It's essentially a laser of radio, but it's not really a laser. Because a radio
This is more
laser.
Of a cone of video. A cone of cone
yeah,
of signal.
Yeah, instead of having a donut-shaped kind of toroid of
yes.
radio,
mm-hmm.
what the parabolic antennas do is push the toroid over in one direction.
Doesn't do anything for the actual energy being transmitted. The
no.
radio waves are from,
no.
from
same
the antenna,
amount of
same
radio.
Thing.
Same
but because they're all going one direction, the focus boosts that energy in one direction.
Yes.
Helps.
Yes, that is exactly what happens. So... So we tried parabolic reflectors, which was pretty interesting. I wasn't expecting much out of what is essentially a nerdy crafts project,
mm-hmm.
but the result was really good. Probably the best of all the stuff that we tested, and that was free.
Free?
Only
minutes.
Works on G and B routers, we found out. Anyway, we posted a video with all of this stuff. We tried some aftermarket antennas. We tried upgrading firmware and kind of hacking the firmware to try some different stuff there. The takeaways, if you don't want to watch the 4 minute and 57 second
watch
video,
it anyway.
It's a funny video, I thought. I was pleased. My dog makes an appearance. I think it's her first appearance on tested.com. Yes, world famous Chloe Bananas. So I mean, the kind of lessons we learned are really straightforward. Turn down a couple of settings, turn up a couple of other settings. Third-party antennas, the ones that cost a lot of money, really didn't do a whole lot. If you have a spot that's really far away from the router, the best bet is to run some Ethernet over there and set up a second AP and just add a second bubble.
Or
of
you don't
Wi-Fi
even
for your house.
Need Ethernet. You can use a power line adapter.
Or, yeah, you can use power line if you don't have Ethernet. Although power line, I'm still not entirely sold on the reliability of power line. I think power line really depends on the wiring in your
house. I watched
house.
All of Air Force One with power line.
Really? In high def?
In high def.
That's
Netflix HD.
Crazy.
No problem at all.
Okay, I like that.
You could
that.
See the pores on Gary Oldman's face.
That's terrifying. I don't need... Gary Oldman is Commissioner Gordon, correct?
He was also a Russian fundamentalist.
Hmm.
Zealot. Crazy.
So he played a commie.
He did.
Wow. Okay. So anything else we've been testing this week? It's been kind of a quiet testing week for tested.com. Have you tested
anything? Quiet
now. Well, quiet now. It's been a busy Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, a little bit on the down low. It's been good. Let's jump right into the news. Today, Google I.O. started. Google I.O. is their annual developer conference, kind of akin to PDC for Microsoft or WWDC, which is coming up for Apple. Mm-hmm.
Big developer conference for Google.
What's the big news? So like three or four things kind of happened today. I think one of them is really huge and the others are kind of meh.
Okay. Which one is the one that's really huge?
I think that web fonts, as you can note from the show notes,
wow.
It's all capped.
Fonts?
Fonts.
Web fonts.
So that means it's a way. You know how right now when you go to a web page and everybody uses Verdana because everybody has Verdana installed?
That is true.
Yes.
Verdana was the cheap alternative to Helvetica.
No, that's Arial.
No.
Verdana was a more Helvetica-y
version.
Than
right.
Arial,
it was Microsoft made it.
Microsoft. They made Arial too. Same thing. Yeah. I mean, Arial is kind of a ripoff. Verdana has a little more style than Arial.
It's wider. Verdana helped your research papers.
That's true.
Get twice as long. With
any kids out there, I'll tell you the secret, super secret, awesome font, Schoolboy. Schoolboy, so far apart the letters, you can turn a 300-word article into like a 10-page paper.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually switching to Schoolboy on tested.com. Nothing longer than 45 words from here on out. So web fonts is not the big news. Although web fonts is interesting. Basically, what it does is it allows web developers to package a font and kind of beam it across to your browser so that you can, you know, see different fonts.
Interesting.
I think we're going to see a world of Comic Sans.
More coding.
Yes, more coding. Basically, it gives the developer, the website owner, more control over the viewing experience, which I think is good because one of the big problems right now with the web is that, you know, our site looks different on Mac, it looks different on Windows, it looks different
on
Linux.
There's some standardization, but...
But even on the same browsers, and a lot of that is due to font rendering and how the different OSs render fonts differently and how they have equivalent fonts that aren't the same font necessarily. So I think this will solve a lot of problems. I think it will make things look a lot better.
Websites should just be big images. Like,
really?
That was Front Page. In Microsoft, was it Front Page? That was their web design program. Right?
Yes, that was Microsoft's web design program.
In Front Page, like... I don't know, 1998, 99 maybe, when you built the website, you published it, all it did was render everything as a series of images.
Oh, no, that wasn't Front Page. That was, it was that other thing. It was Cool Something. I remember that. It was bad. Anyway, enough about that. Fonts, actually, I do have one more fonts thing. If you haven't watched it yet and you have Netflix Instant Streaming, run, don't walk, and queue up Helvetica. It's about a font. Most famous font of the world. It's an absolutely riveting documentary. So your all's homework this week
about fonts
is to watch that. Yeah, it's about fonts. Watch that and report back next week. There'll be a quiz. So okay, more out of Google I.O. More little news. Let's do that. We'll save the big thing for the end. Wave is free for everybody. Woo.
Woo.
I mean, we use Wave. I think we're the only people in the world that use Wave. Yeah. But I don't know anybody else is really using Wave. I think it's quite the interesting thing. I think it's kind of a tool without a purpose right now. I think it'll find its way.
I wish there were spreadsheets in Wave. I mean, Wave is like Google Docs, but I get multiple windows. It's like Google Docs combined with Gmail.
Yes. Well, no, it's like a wiki combined with Google Docs, combined with Gmail,
mm-hmm.
combined with Basecamp, which costs money.
But
Wave is free, which we like. That's why we use Wave.
And
we're not paying for it. Okay. Yeah, so Wave is open to everybody. You can go to wave.google.com, associate with your Google account, and be waving like crazy. You can do whatever you want, Wave. You can have a chat in Wave. You can post apps. There's like a yes-no widget. We just use it for document sharing, basically. Other little news, Chrome apps. This is one of those things that's a little story right now. I think it'll be a big story eventually. But basically...
I think it's going to be a big thing.
Good boy. I mean, you think this is a replacement for extensions or you think this is a challenge to iTunes?
This is a challenge to the desktop.
Okay, so what is Chrome apps? Norman?
Chrome apps, it's a web store for web apps. They want web apps to be how you use all your basic, you know, day-to-day apps. So Google, like, they want this is the way that they're going to get you to use Google Docs instead of Word, finally. By making Chrome... Even on your desktop,
an app.
Desktop.
I see. So here's the thing. I think the app is kind of a, I know that Apple's had a great deal of success with apps, but the reason apps work on a phone is that it's a different presentation for the same data you're presenting on the website. And at the time when the iPhone came out, or actually a year after the iPhone came out when they turned on apps, it made a lot of sense to do the apps because m.sites weren't very good. You know, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to publish, you know, video content and stuff like that in an HTML-friendly format. And I think the time of the app is waning, at least for power users.
But that's therein lies the problem, the argument. Power users, what percent of the population of PC users?
You know, like 5.
Yeah, 5%.
Total, not percent.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, there's like 8 of us out there, I think, these days.
Yep. Why does someone need to install Outlook when if all they need is Gmail and they can get it for free and it's part of Chrome? And it's the browser that's rapidly gaining market share.
No, I mean, okay, so I definitely think, I think it's more a Chrome OS play than anything else. I think this is so that there's
a way to install third-party software into Chrome OS. This is
a
stepping stone to making Chrome OS less like a really, really useless version of, you know, of a, what was that, Ubuntu Linux, or not Ubuntu, that Linux-based. But there's a web
app only.
It's like
Mobilin or one of those, right?
Yeah, there's a web app only Netbook OS, and Chrome OS now will be less like that and more like Ubuntu.
So, okay, so Chrome OS, I think we'll have to see more. You know, all the normal app kind of demo apps were there. I think they showed Plants vs. Zombies and a bunch of
like
other.
Lego, Star
yeah,
Wars.
Traditional. And, it seems like a venue for games in the browser that are somewhere between
that.
Flash and
I like the iPhone app experience for certain things. I don't think it makes sense for the desktop, not for me. I think it might make sense for netbooks. The fact that you don't need to be connected, even though it's a web app, there's still offline use. Very useful.
Okay. Well, I mean, offline use I can see, but how many people are really offline these days? I mean, I can get the... I don't take a lot. I don't take flights that don't have Wi-Fi these days.
Then why do you have an iPad 3G?
Because I'm
you're offline.
Because I needed to review it, really. And I told my wife I needed one.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, okay. I like the iPad. That's cool. So the big news out of Google I/O, this is the thing that's going to potentially change the world. WebM, a royalty-free video codec from Mozilla and Google and a bunch of other people that don't want to pay Germans codec licensing fees.
MPEG-LA.
MPEG-LA. I guess MPEG-LA bought the Fraunhofer stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so what does this mean right now for me today as a user?
I don't think it means anything.
Oh.
It means there's a
maybe
backup.
This shouldn't have been the big story.
I don't think that was big. I thought the web apps was the big story.
Really?
Yeah.
I did put it at the top of the list. Well, okay, so WebM, royalty-free video codec, basically it's an H.264 competitor. I think this is a vote of no confidence in Ogg Theora, which is the open source video codec. I mean, in fairness, it's not a very... I mean, it's okay codec. It's kind of more competitive with DivX, though, than H.264, which is not a good place to be if you're a video codec these days.
But it's not just Google.
It is Mozilla.
And Opera.
And Opera. And someone else. Not Microsoft, because they have Windows Mobile. Mozilla. Maybe it's just Opera, Mozilla, and Google. That seems to be it.
Yes.
So the reason they're doing this is H.264 is actually owned by MPEG-LA, right? And MPEG-LA doesn't charge royalties now.
And they said they've promised that they won't for next 5 years or so.
Right, until 2015.
But
Which point they're going to start charging, they're reserving the right. So,
yes.
I mean, I think their business is, hey, let's get really hooked on this H.264 wagon. And then, right when they're all, you know, they've transcoded all their video to support it and all this stuff, then whammy, they're going to pull the plug and start charging us 3 cents per video streamed.
Sigh.
Yeah, that's not good. So that's why that's why everybody's excited about WebM.
But it's a different codec, right?
It is a totally different codec. And I mean, it's unclear how advanced it is, like how ready it is to go. It looks like Google's donating VP8, which is the codec it got with Onto. So this is a rumor we talked about a few weeks ago. And there's going to be a new container file format that will include ability to do ads and some other stuff, all the stuff that you kind of need with web video today. And will include Ogg Vorbis Audio or Vorbis Audio.
And here, here's interesting. Flash, also a launch partner.
Interesting. So, I mean, we'll kind of keep you posted on the WebM stuff. I would guess that, I mean, even with Google's astounding pace of development in Chrome, we're looking at, you know, a year probably before anything comes of this and before the tools are ready to do the transcoding and all that stuff to convert existing H.264 video into whatever.
Oh,
I mean, one of the things that's interesting about this is, I guess when you buy a Flash license, you buy a license to H.264 at the same time. If you buy a Flash server license, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I'm using Flash to make my web videos, not that big a deal. If I'm using Main Concept or something like that and I'm not buying the server license, then it is going to get kind of expensive. I guess you buy the H.264 playback license when you buy the player license, rather. So Flow Player.
And also Microsoft is paying for that.
On the PC.
On PC when you buy Windows.
Well, yeah. But I'm talking about, like, for us as Whiskey.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The publishers of fine websites.
Yes.
And we do a lot of H.264 video on the site. We're paying for it in the Flash player or at some other point along the process. I don't know exactly when we would be paying for it. It seems it's interesting. Do you think they just have to call us up and, you know, send a bunch of
we're in the clear
over to
I think we're in the clear.
Beat us down?
We're okay.
I don't know. I'm a little nervous now.
Enjoy videos while they last.
Right. Web video is going away. No, we'll be here next week. It's the week after you have to watch out for. Okay, so that's everything out of I.O. so far. It seems like tomorrow is going to be the big day.
It's the Android day.
Tomorrow is the day of 1,000 Android posts. So I'll be very interested to see what actually comes out of Android.
What's the money on Froyo being launched tomorrow? On being
I think there'll
tomorrow.
Be a beta tomorrow. Turns out Google likes betas, although we haven't seen a whole lot of Android betas yet. I think Froyo is the make or break for Android.
It's the right point for them?
I think Froyo is Linux kernel 2.6 for Android. I think this is going to be the one that
Bold.
Is the thing that everybody builds off of. Rather than continuing to iterate the OS, this is when we'll see Google start to iterate individual applications, and the OS will be more or less the same. That's my prediction for Froyo.
But they've already named the next two.
Yes, but the next two, I mean, who knows how long they'll take. I mean, I think we'll see increasing periods of time between them as the platform
more
gets
desserts.
More mature.
More desserts.
Well, and they're running out of desserts. Or sweet. It's not really desserts. It's sweet things.
Sweets.
They do duck donut, you know.
Those are also desserts.
That's true. True. I want to see Pixie Sticks. That's what I'm hoping for. Not holding my breath, though. A little bit of iPhone OS 4 news coming out of Vietnam. And the Beta 4. The iPod Touch, what, fourth generation or third generation?
They iterate those every year. So it's
17th generation at this point?
I can't tell a difference. I mean,
Should we make up a code name for this? This is like Wookiee Feet?
Yeah, Shiny Back.
Shiny Back. Okay, so the new Shiny Backed iPod Touch. 2-megapixel camera, which is new for the iPod Touch. For some reason, those don't have cameras. I think it's because Apple wants
only the Nano has a camera, and it's only for video. And
the iPod Nano, not the Touch. Right. There is no iPod Touch Nano.
Yes, the iPod Nano. And from what I've seen of iPod Nano videos, not very great. But this is reportedly 2 megapixels. Video is what I think it's going to be, probably photos as well. iPod Touch is a hot-selling product.
I guess people buy iPod Touch when they don't want to get tied to a data plan or a big expensive phone contract, right? I mean, it's $500, so it's an expensive device.
And you know what? The last device is going to get a camera? Maybe iPad. Maybe.
Well, no, the iPod Classic will never have a camera.
I don't think iPod Classic, I mean, you think it's still going to last another year?
I think they'll keep making iPod Classics as long as there's a million people buying them a year.
It's for cars, right?
I mean, if I had a car with an iPod dock in the glove box, I would just load up an iPod with a whole shitload of music and plug it in there and leave it there all the time.
Then you'd never change the music.
I'm comfortable with that. I mean, I'd take it out every month. I mean, I only sync music to my iPhone every month or so.
Like, I change the CDs in my car every month or so.
You have CDs in your car?
I have data CDs.
I have a CD player in my car, but you know what's in it? Nothing. Actually, I take it back. What's in it is about a 5-year-old Nine Inch Nails CD.
That's for just in case.
Just in case. In case the MP3 player breaks. So, so camera on the iPod Touch. Rumor. This is coming out of Vietnam again. Lots of stuff out of Vietnam these days. Especially, I don't know, are they doing their phone testing in Vietnam?
No, I think happening? Manufacturing maybe. Maybe a shipment was...
like hijacked?
Yeah. Or
this was a prototype. It had DBT on the back.
So a lot of prototypes coming out of Vietnam.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be right back. Next topic, iPhone OS.
Oh, iPhone 4OS.
iPhone OS 4, Beta 4, released today, I guess, yesterday night. I can't remember. I hadn't seen the announcement yet. I'm filtering Apple developer spam because there's a lot of it. But a couple of key points. One is that we can finally have a custom dictionary. So, the iPhone isn't going to change fucking to ducking anymore. Of course, that hasn't happened in a long time. But I mean, I'm looking forward to being able to remove words like Ida.
You've always been able to teach your iPhone words.
Well, you kind of teach your iPhone words.
You teach it with repetition, like you would a dog.
Well, hold on. In the old days, you taught your iPhone words by adding them to your address book. That was the best way. If you wanted to get fucking in the address book.
Or you hit the X when it tries to change it for you.
That didn't do anything for a long time, though.
It did. Last time I tried.
No, it does. It does in the modern OS, but iPhone OS 2, it didn't do anything. A custom dictionary, so you can add your own dictionary. Hopefully, there'll be an import process from, your OS X dictionary or your Windows dictionary. I'm not holding my breath on that. And then the other thing is there's a UI workflow for tethering. So if you flip the tethering switch and your phone doesn't support tethering, instead of just acting like it's going to work and then it doesn't,
mm-hmm. it says, go to AT&T.
Hey, send AT&T some money and call this number.
Ooh. Who else can I give money?
Yes.
To get features.
Yes, we like ducking.
Wonderful features. We had a conversation earlier today about not wanting to buy any more iPhone apps. The bad idea to buy an iPhone app right now.
So, I mean, as anybody who reads the mailbag knows, we are advising people to not buy phones until after the Evo 4G. The Incredibles out now, so, I mean, that's one of the three.
If you're
out.
Stuck on a Verizon contract right. And you're due for a subsidy, that's perfectly reasonable.
That's
purchase.
A pretty good phone to buy, yeah. Evo 4G on Sprint, really excited about that.
You know,
WiMAX,
that's
big
just
screen.
2 weeks away.
2 weeks away. iPhone announcement, we're going to guess at WWDC, also in early June. And, I mean, I wouldn't buy an iPhone today. I wouldn't buy any phone today, really.
Let's go further and say don't buy any apps.
So you think, I mean, I said it kind of as a joke, but it actually is a little, as frequently happens with me.
Remember,
I said something offhand casually that turned out to be incredibly perceptive and insightful, right? Do you disagree?
No comment.
Uh-huh.
No comment. Just like when the iPad was announced, and I said, it's a good excuse to, it's compatible with
this
all
is
these
this
apps.
Is your app out. This is the out for your apps.
Yes, out for my apps. But it wasn't because.
Well, they look terrible.
They look really bad, iPhone yes. apps, and two, they charge you a lot more for the iPad apps, and many of them you can't buy one and get two.
Also, you can't put your iPad in your pocket. It's pretty big.
That's also true.
Yeah. So I think that I'm not buying apps now until I decide what my next phone is going to
be. Yeah, there could be, iPhone HD apps.
Right. I don't think there'll be an iPhone HD apps. I think we're going to see iPhone. I think iPhone apps is iPhone apps.
They'll charge you for a new version.
Well, that's probably true. I'm not going to buy any iPhone apps until I decide whether I'm going to stick with iPhone. And I'm not feeling good about sticking with iPhone right now. I'm thinking...
I'm putting money on Will sticking with iPhone.
You think so?
Money on Will sticking with iPhone and money on me not buying an iPhone. How about it's an equal amount of money?
Are you going to buy are you going to switch to Android, though, is the question.
I'm not saying... No, I'm going to stick with my 3GS.
Hmm.
So here's the app.
You feel no need for a new phone.
Will has said he's not getting... He's not getting an iPhone. He's not feeling good about the iPhone.
Well, we're going to buy one for review. We're going to buy one for review.
You just said you are not feeling good about the iPhone.
Yes.
I am predicting that you will buy the iPhone, just as you are predicting that I will buy the iPhone.
Interesting point. What if I keep the one that we buy for review? How does that count? Does that work?
Doesn't count.
Oh, so that...
It counts. It still counts. It's not an out.
Oh, okay. It's not an out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see how it goes.
Free phones.
I think that's a lunch bet. Loser buys lunch. We'll see how it goes. I really like Android a lot. I think Android's pretty badass.
Speaking of apps and apps that charge you.
Apps that used to cost $4.99 and now cost
money
nothing?
For updates.
Yes.
But now cost nothing. Way to rip you off. Tweety for iPhone, also known as Twitter.
I'm going to go ahead and say I feel like I got my $3 or $4 or whatever it was out of Tweety, as it's something that I use every single day quite a bit. And it's brought me a lot of joy. I mean, so many memes have come through Tweety. So many important communiques with people about things like churros and cats.
Is the free version, is Twitter for iPhone just as good?
It seems exactly the same.
It's exactly the same.
Well, the logo's changed. The button's changed. So that's pretty exciting. I couldn't really tell much of a difference other than that. Could you tell a difference? Have you looked at it yet?
No, I'm sticking with Tweety. I paid for it.
So you're going to stick with the old, not to be updated anymore version.
No, why wouldn't they update it? I paid for it.
It's the same version. When you press update on Tweety, it gives you Twitter for iPhone.
No!
Yes.
They just changed the name? They can't do that.
Yes, they changed the name.
It's not a separate app?
No, it is not a separate app.
Mother. Maybe I don't even have my phone with me.
And you know what? I had to change my settings. That pissed me off.
Inconveniencing the people who paid just to make the people who don't pay get free.
Well, yeah.
Rage.
Where's your money? You should write Evan Williams a letter and ask him for your $2 back.
$3. $2 back.
Did you buy it twice? Did you buy Tweety 1 and Tweety 2?
Tweety 2.
Oh, so you bought into the hype on the second gen. You weren't in there. See, I'm in for like $6 on Tweety now. Of course, for a while, I bought pretty much every Twitter client that was on the iPhone because they were all so bad. There was nothing you could do. It was like Twitter.
Well,
shitty.
The problem was the Twitter API and how many times you could ping the server.
Yes, that also was bad too. Okay, so Tweety for iPhone is now Twitter for iPhone. I'm waiting for a big iPad version. You know what else we still don't have? Where the hell is the iPad Facebook app?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure they're working on it. Facebook's kind of like in a
Well, the mobile version of Facebook's right pretty good. I mean, aside from the privacy stuff and all that. Of course, I'm really not using Facebook very much anymore.
The mobile site for anything on the iPad's pretty bad, I think.
Mobile Facebook actually works pretty well. So, Norm, have you been to google.com/phone lately?
No, I haven't. I heard that's the place to buy a Nexus One, though.
Well, it used to be the place. Well, it's still the place to buy a Nexus One right now. You can buy one there today.
That was going to be the place to buy all Google products.
It seems like it was going to be the hub for Google, but they're pulling the plug on that whole thing.
You know, my theory is that they did that so they could give a boost to checkout, Google checkout, and validate its existence.
I don't think that is a very smart theory.
You don't think checkout.
I don't think they went through all that hassle and risk pissing off Verizon. And
then what was their plan? What was their plan? I mean,
I think
they
wanted to make
it a lot.
No, you know what? I think that somebody at Google had gone to an AT&T, really, honestly, any phone company store, any cellular phone store, and had the experience that we had when we were in LA last year, and I went to buy a replacement phone after I dropped my iPhone.
It's very unpleasant for me.
Right. I mean, we put our name on a list, and then basically we're told to pound sand for about an hour. I think, exhausted all the entertainment opportunities in that store within, what, probably 45 seconds of arrival?
Yes.
Right? And we're, ended up just kind of standing there doing nothing for an hour while one of the three people that they had working in a store with 45 people lined up waiting managed to, like, come off break long
but guess
enough
what?
To help us
Those
buy
people
a phone.
Bought phones.
Everybody bought phones because you're fucked. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, the Google thing was nice. You go to a website, you tell it what you want, you put in your credit card number, and bam, 2 days later, a phone shows up.
And they did that at the expense of having it in the store.
Yes.
Which is what ultimately hurt the Nexus One.
Well, so here's the thing the other thing that hurt the Nexus One is no subsidies on the phones you buy there. Because people are trained that $200 is the most they should pay for a phone. I mean, it's why the first iPhone didn't sell well. It's why the Nexus One hasn't sold well.
Well. The first iPhone sold well.
Well, it sold well for a smartphone at that time.
It's why the first iPhone price went down to $199 after a few months.
No, they did that because they were testing the waters. They wanted to see how much they could juice the fanboys for.
Well, that's like that's Apple's MO.
Yeah. So, okay. So, basically, it didn't work. Nobody bought in. I don't know why. I don't know how. I know nothing about it.
And now, there is no Nexus One on Sprint.
No Nexus One on Sprint.
No Nexus One on Verizon.
Yeah.
You can only get it on AT&T and T-Mobile. And yes. Show me someone on AT&T who has Nexus One, and I'm going to laugh at them. There is no reason if you're on AT&T to get the Nexus One.
You'd rather have an iPhone. Or a backflip.
You'd rather not be on AT&T.
Well, that's a very good point. Nexus One's still going to be around, though, right? It's going to be sold in the stores.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For AT&T and whatever the other...
T-Mobile.
Yeah, the other GSM network. The last story, before we get to some reader questions, is about exercise equipment.
Yes.
I'm not much of an exerciser, as you can tell from my stunning physique. But you're an exerciser, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel the need to kind of biometrically monitor your exercise habits with a Nike Plus or Fitbit or something like that?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because...
Do you not need data on that?
No, I don't need... Well, okay. I am not opposed to incorporating technology into the exercise routine.
Okay.
As long as it facilitates better exercising.
So have you ever used a Nike Plus?
I have used Nike Plus. Having an iPod.
Yes.
Right, or having some type of
music player. That's a good thing. I like having music.
Music, that is a mental assist. You know, it helps you mentally.
It helps fight the boredom of the treadmill.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Having a treadmill, that is a piece of technology.
That is true.
Right? Or an elliptical. Efficiency, right?
Yes. These are things that
helps you.
That replace the road.
The actual helps the actual exercising process.
What about like a spinning machine, like a bicycle?
That also.
With
also
like the cool. hills and all that, so you go faster and slower?
That is also cool.
Okay. What about those simulators where you like you look at the dudes on the bicycles in front of you and you're in a race with them, but it's all virtual?
I want to try that.
Have you never done that?
Never done
that. Oh, I've even done that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But looking at a lot of dude ass as you're riding, which is
virtual
less
dude
cool.
ass.
Virtual dude ass, yeah.
But the Nike Plus doesn't actually do anything for the exercise, the workout.
No, actually Nike Plus does. I mean, I've used Nike Plus quite a bit because I do run on occasion.
It helps you after the fact.
No. But you are incorrect,
sir. Oh, you get the power song.
Well, and it also gives you, like, if you do intervals or something like that. So when I run, I go out and I do like a 10-minute warm-up and then a 10-minute cool-down, and I do 30 or 45 minutes of running in between.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it says, oh, you have 5 minutes left. And when you have when you break your previous best time or something like that, Lance Armstrong comes out and says, you're doing a good job.
Mm.
That is pretty fucking compelling as far as I'm concerned. When was the last time Lance Armstrong told you were awesome, Norm? He told me 2 days ago.
I think he told you maybe a year ago.
I was running 2 days ago. It was kind of sad. He gave me the, hey, you did a good job. Good coming back out again after 6 months of doing nothing, Tubbo.
What I'm saying, the thing I'm opposed to is the need to have stat tracking for exercising as a motivator.
Well, I like the, okay, so I'm less cool with the pedometer with the Nike Plus. The reason we're talking about this is because Nike announced the heart rate monitor as part of Nike
so
Plus now.
So I can
now.
Have things, EKG devices,
like you're
going to
wear a band
you.
Around you,
yes.
I assume, yeah. I think it's kind of interesting. I like that. It gives me something else that I can track. It makes it more of a game for me.
That's what I'm opposed to. That is exactly what I'm opposed to.
You don't
to.
Like me having fun?
I don't like, exercise isn't about having fun.
It's about suffering.
It's about...
Sculpting your physique.
It's about fitness.
Okay.
You do it because... It's good for you. It's not.
But what
about,
if you don't care if it's good for you? What if you just want to like have another
you wanna
game?
Level,
to play?
You want to level up.
I want to level.
You want to opt. You want a stat whore.
I want to upgrade my donkey
your,
to a horse.
That's right.
Yes, that is exactly what I want to do.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Hmm. So okay, so
you want achievement points? That's what you want. You want achievement?
You know,
points
if,
for running.
If I got Xbox achievements for running, I would be running like a motherfucker every day.
Microsoft needs to get on that.
One of the reasons I'm asking this is I have a Fitbit coming. The Fitbit is that little, it's like a pedometer. It's kind of like Nike Plus without the Nike or the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, you clip it on and it does sleep tracking and measures how restless you are in your sleep and all sorts of
how
other
accurate
crazy
are
shit
those
like
things?
That. I don't know. That's one of the things we're going to test. I mean, I think one day I'll hook it up to the dog and see what it says she does on a daily basis.
See, I'm gonna get a dog to earn me achievement points.
Why do you want a dog to earn achievement points?
Because you can put the Nike Plus on the dog.
Actually, that's what we should do. We should take Ryan's Pokemon pedometer that he wears everywhere and attach it to the dog and then put her on the treadmill with the Nike Plus and see what happens.
Racking up the achievement points.
Right, nothing but crazy achievement points. Yeah, so I'm excited about the Fitbit because I want metrics about everything from how I sleep to like the amount of exercise I'm doing. Like, how many calories am I burning right now sitting here in this chair drinking a cup of coffee and talking to people on the internet?
You know, this goes back to that talk.
It's data. It's all about data.
No, but it goes back to that.
The world is an RPG.
The world is an RPG talk.
Yes. Yes,
you want
it
the
is.
World in an RPG. And the payoff message
which
is
was?
That if all your data is tracked and everything you do from reading a book to brushing your teeth is
tallied.
Is tallied and kept forever.
Yes.
For your own benefit, but for the benefit of the future, then don't you want your legacy to be good? And don't you want to live a better life?
I don't want to look like a lazy ass with my grandkids are going to come back and look at my data 20 years, 50 years later.
Yes.
I don't want to be the slack ass guy. I want to be the awesome guy.
You want you you.
I
you
want to be the winner. Anything. Right. I mean, that's why I play games on the Xbox instead of the PS3. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption on the Xbox because I want achievement points so that I get ever closer to 30,000 achievement points.
30,000 achievement points.
That's a lot of wasted time over the last 5 years. Okay.
I played Avatar The Last Airbender 30 times. That's easy 1,000 achievement points by standing in a corner for 8 seconds.
Wow, dude. That is a low... you know, the worst achievement I have is the King Kong. The 1,000 points for King Kong.
But you actually have to beat the game.
You did have to play the whole game, mm-hmm. but it was an easy 1,000 points.
No. Avatar... You stand in the corner.
Where did you get a copy of Avatar?
You can borrow it, or you can rent it from Blockbuster.
You have a copy I can borrow?
I don't have a copy you can borrow.
Can you rent a copy from Blockbuster for me?
You just get the 10-point
combo.
I'll
give you $3.
You can do it.
I don't have a Blockbuster card. So anyway, I'm interested in getting more data on my exercise habits or lack thereof. Norm, as a person who actually exercises, does not give a shit. That's the takeaway on the Fitbit.
Yeah.
And now...
I don't need the Wii Fit. I don't need a robotic voice or Lance Armstrong to tell me I'm awesome. Things I already know.
You know, but it doesn't hurt to have Lance Armstrong tell you you're awesome. Even if you already know that you are awesome. Let's do some reader questions. If you have a question, you can submit it by sending it to podcast@tested.com. Or actually, that's probably the only way to submit it. You can do FormSpring questions for the mailbag, but that's a different set of questions. If you expect questions in both places, well, you're going to be disappointed. Tyler W. in Calgary, Alberta, Canada asks, wow, this is a really long question. I'm just curious what yours and Norman's theory is as to why so many PC users, or at least the most vocal of them, seem to have such hatred and seeming ignorance towards Macs and Mac users, saying they're overpriced, underpowered, and nothing more than trendy and shiny and blah, 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 blah. Pretentious, elitist douchebags who spend their whole day sipping lattes. That's what Gordon says. That's not what most people say. I've noticed that on many message boards, forums, etc., anytime a Mac product is mentioned, the conversation immediately devolves into bashing Mac computers and products and anyone who uses them. Is it just a similar case to the Nintendo versus Sega console wars from days of old? Insecurity about their product and purchasing decisions? Thanks. Well, Tyler, I would say that you probably hit the nail on the head. Turns out that the internet was invented for bitching about stuff. Do you disagree, Mr.
No.
Jim? Yes.
Macs are shiny.
The thing that I don't understand is why somebody's talking about why it's okay to pay more for a nice car.
A nice looking car, you mean?
A nice looking car. I mean, if you're driving, say, you know, a 5 Series Mercedes, you paid a lot of money for that
There's
car.
There's no 5 Series Mercedes. It's a 5 Series BMW.
Series. I'm not a car guy.
It's an E-Class Mercedes.
E-Class Mercedes. An expensive Mercedes. It's not like you're getting incredible performance there. You get a certain level of comfort. It's a nicer looking car, perhaps. There's leather on the inside. Better design, maybe. Maybe it's a little more, or possibly even less reliable.
More expensive to maintain.
But it does the same job as your $500 Yugo. It gets you from point A to point B.
Instead of the Yugo, I think the...
You put ground-up dinosaurs into it.
Well, no. That's a bad analogy.
Okay.
Because that's comparing it to a netbook. That's just comparing a MacBook to a netbook.
Okay, so say compare Alexis, like, then.
Compare it to, like, an Audi or a...
These are both German automobiles.
Or a Lotus, you know?
Well, Lotus is kind of a sports car. What about a Toyota?
No, Lotus is perfect example. It's a sports car. High performance machine for the track that you can tune.
But the Mercedes was supposed to be the expensive one.
Exactly, the Mercedes. But Mercedes is more expensive relatively to the Lotus.
Oh, okay, I get your point. So you could buy a $40,000 sports car or a $100,000 luxury car. Why do the people who buy the $100,000? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand. My point is, you know, it's okay to pay more for something that you like the design of or that runs a different OS or whatever if you want to. I mean, if people want to spend money on stuff, that's fine. If there's better options out there,
cheaper
options.
People are complaining because they think it hurts their platform.
I guess that's true.
Because they look at where developers are going, and they look at where... I mean, it's the same reason why PC gamers don't like consoles.
Okay, Mendelssohn9 in the chat room asks, will you ever test GPS units, and do you use any? I don't use GPS. I believe in maps. Norm, do you use GPS units?
GPS. They're built. I have one in my car. So
built into the car.
Built into the car. Okay. So not a third party one. What I would really love though is if the iPad had map downloadable maps.
You want a giant suction cup? You can glue that fucker on the windshield.
I want Google Maps to not require 3G or Wi-Fi.
Hmm.
I want to say I want to download this area. Doesn't need to be big.
Well, you just want like the Bay Area.
I want just where I'm going to be driving day to day.
So I mean, I don't travel a lot of places that I'm going that I don't know where I'm going, which is the reason I don't use a GPS unit. I mean, I feel like there are some people who remain nameless to protect the innocent who, to drive 3 miles to Subway, dropped that into their Subway that we go to on a regular basis. Dropped
used
that into their
to.
Used to go to in the old building. Dropped that into the GPS to know when to make the two turns you needed to get there. I feel like GPS kind of encourages that kind of behavior, which is not really a good thing for the survival of the species. I believe in maps. Basically, I feel like kind of the handheld GPS devices are pretty commoditized at this point. And I mean, basically, you go to Best Buy and shell out $100 and you get a GPS that does more or less what you need.
Yes.
If you spend a lot of time in the car and are a cab driver or something like that, it's probably worth looking at the more expensive ones that do traffic and all that stuff. Or if you have a just fucking brutal commute with like 35 different potential routes you could take, yes, you should do
that. I
think
GPS still too slow interface wise.
Oh, no, some of the newer ones are actually quite nice. But maybe we'll do a roundup of them later this year. I mean, it seems like the kind of thing that would be good for a roundup. When they refresh the product lines. Smallville123 asks, I love you guys, lol. That's not really a question, Smallville123. Sidestepa asks, hey guys, I was wondering if you guys could recommend some wireless audio streaming tech that allows you to use your own speaker system, unlike the Sonos S5. The other Sonos hardware actually does allow you to stream music using your own speakers, either with an amp or without.
Also,
those are the Zone Player 100, the 120,
Sling
and all those.
Squeezebox.
Logitech Squeezebox does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them require an amp. Some of them are not amplified. So definitely take a look at that. You can also do, if you have an amped speaker set, you can plug in an Apple AirPort Express or Apple TV and stream that way. So those are the three things that I've used and have
or an old netbook.
Yeah, or an old netbook works too. That's actually a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Or even a really light PC. Let's do one more question because that was a short one. Captain Spaulding asks, Will, do you think Twitter will ever let you only at people that actually follow you? No, that's kind of what the Ds do. The direct messages are for. So, I think the whole point of the ad is kind of yelling in the audience. So I think that's good. I mean, I like the way that works, actually. So Llama NL asks, why don't you guys take price into account when reviewing stuff? Unlike us, you guys don't get stuff for free, and $800 for yet another tech thing is kind of a lot of money. That is a very good point. We do actually take price into account when reviewing things. The way I look at it, there's times that price is really important. Something that you buy regularly or a lot of, like software, I pay attention to price a lot. When you're looking at something like a phone where the price is a very small percentage of the overall cost of the device. So say you're looking at a phone where the phone costs $200 and the contract that goes with the phone is $2,500. I'm much less concerned with the price because, I mean, really, you know,
or
it's
sometimes
insignificant
cutting
compared to the cost of the
products
thing.
Don't have any alternatives. And so it's, you know, it's buy it or don't buy it based on its feature set.
Right.
Price matters more when there's...
Like if you're looking at laptops where there's 25 laptops that use a Core i3 530, I mean, then price becomes really important because there are alternatives. When you're looking at iPads, you kind of, if you want an iPad, you have to pay the jobs tax. So that's kind of what we're doing. And last question from the ARC in the chat room. Will you be playing StarCraft 2? I will be playing StarCraft 2 single player.
Why not?
Yes. Okay, so that wraps it up for questions this week. If you have a question, you can email it to podcast@tested.com or join our live stream. It seems like Wednesday afternoon is the new time right now,
hey,
around 3:30
like
or 4.
Are available.
4:15, 4:30 maybe.
And it's not yelling in the background.
Yeah, they left.
There's no
That's
throwing
awesome.
Down.
Yes, well, there can be throwing down later. You know what we can do? We should do things to their workspace when they're
Will
not
wants
here.
To poop on their desk.
I'm not pooping on anybody's desk. This show is over. For Norman Chan, I'm Will Smith. As always, if you would like to say something good or bad about our show, review us on iTunes, leave a comment on tested.com/podcast. Let's see, where else can people interact with us? They can leave a FormSpring question for the mailbag, which will be posted on Friday or Saturday at formspring.me/tested. You can just scream to the air on Twitter that Tested is awesome. Like us on Facebook. All sorts of stuff.
Ask more questions on FormSpring.
Yes, ask more. Ask questions. Actually, we have more questions that I can answer every week. We're getting like 60,
ask better questions.
60, 80 questions. I usually just go for the 20 most recent. I'll have to start filtering a little bit better, being a little more selective. But anyway, for Norman Chan, I'm Will Smith. Thank you guys for coming by. And make sure you swing by Tested this week. It's okay.
I'm typing really fast. Wow.
You're not typing. You're just moving your hands above the... This is like watching What's-His-Name and Amadeus playing the piano. He wasn't really playing.
That looks awesome. Looks like I'm typing super fast. I muted you.
You muted me. You can't hear me. Kill the show. Turn it off. Turn it off.
I didn't get to see what was in the note.
I don't have peripherals.
No.
Mute. They're calling you out for wearing your headphones weird, Norm. You do wear them unusually far back.
It's like the guy in Empire Strikes Back, the android.
Like Lobot?
Lobot! I don't need to be validated by a one ball man.